You have said it. Continue. nothing you cannot do. Woo! There's no mountain you cannot
move.
There is nothing you cannot do. There's no bondage you cannot
break.
If you have said it, then you will do it.
Praise the Lord. Will we yet worship the Lord?
Majesty, worship His Majesty.
Beautiful,
beyond description.
Majesty.
Bow before you. Dear Holy Spirit Divine, this is your altar. This is your church. We pray this morning as we yield ourselves to you to speak to your people. We pray that you shall grant understanding and listening ears to your people. That Father, that you cause your word to bring healing. Let your word bring deliverance. Let your word bring restoration. Let your word bring hope. Let your word bring assurance. Let your word bring, oh Jesus, the danger of judgment in the hearts of men. Glory be to your name, even as we ask that you do your will. And let your will be done. And the end of it, take the glory. Thank you, Holy Father, for we are praying in Jesus' name. Thank you, Glory Voices, for that. Thank you, General Pastor, the Associate General Associate Pastor, Pioneer Associate Pastor, the Assistant Pastor and the elders and all the leaders in the church for granting me the opportunity to be able to come at this time to fellowship with you again. You know, this is home. Coming here is always home. I belong to other places and I have been to other places, but coming here is always home, and I have the feeling that I am in the presence of my brethren where I really belong. Praise the Lord. This morning we shall go quickly to the Word of God, and I hope to be able to be fast about it to talk about the essentials. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 18 and in Genesis 28:17, the Bible refers both in the New Testament and the Old Testament to gates. Genesis, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was chatting with his disciples. He gave them a kind of quiz. Peter got the answer to the quiz. So he replied him, and I say unto you, unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell, not one gate, several gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Genesis 28, I would rather start from 16 to 19. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is no other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put under his pillow. I set it up for a pillar. I poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the Lord in that place. He called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. Praise the Lord. We saw Jesus telling Peter, the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. So our title gives the subject of this message as
The gate of the church, which is the gate of heaven, prevails continuously against the gate of hell. The gate of the church, which is the gate of heaven in bracket, prevails against the gate of hell constantly at all times. In these two scriptures, one from the Old Testament, Jacob was traveling. He slept in a place, took a piece of stone, lie down. Then he began to see revelation of heaven. Angels moving up and down, descending. He called it the gate of heaven. Say, this is the house of God. Brethren, Bethel is the house of God. Bethel, every church is a Bethel, you know that. Every church. It's not this altar alone that is Bethel. It is the house of God. It is the gate of heaven. It is the place where people are recruited. Where people are touched. Are prepared to go to heaven. And fortunately, our pioneer pastors called this place Bethel. They knew what they were saying. Because this is the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. You better believe that. And the Bible talks about these two gates. These two gates have diametrically opposed purposes in the life of man. The function of these gates are completely different. One is against the other. Like I was saying, the gate of heaven is where Jacob saw agents ascending and descending. So you will say the gate of heaven is actually where God can talk to his people, where God can reach his people, where God can impact his people. And this is the place. Brethren are recruited, are prepared to go to heaven at the gate of heaven. The contrary is happening in the gates of hell. That is where people are demonized, are brought into occultism. People are laced with all sorts of powers that have brought them right in hell already, even when they are living. The gate of heaven, which is the church, is a place where people are prepared to grow in stature, to grow like Jesus Christ in stature. Humans respect stature. Even God do. I give you two examples. In Luke 19, you see the man called Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was small in stature. So when Jesus was coming, he had the stature to be able to see Jesus. So he ran and climbed a tree. So people appreciate stature. You see, when Saul, the prophet Samuel saw Saul, he was just carried away by his stature. When he got to the house of the father of David, also Jesse, he saw the senior brother of David, he was just carried away by his stature. Yes, it's not everybody who have good stature, but everybody want to, like the ladies want to marry men with very big stature. But God always know how to compensate those who don't have stature. I give them the brains, give them other areas of smartness. But he was said to David, this prophet was said to David, but he saw the other one that was well built, tall, and he got carried away. God said, wait, you are making a second mistake. This is not the one. This one I'm talking, his stature is robust in the spirit. So God wants us to grow in the spiritual stature so that we can be robust in the spirit. So the gate of heaven is where you are fed, you are nourished, you are taken care of, and you grow both in stature and in favor with God. Because Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, and he gained favor with God and with men. When we grow in spiritual stature, nothing will stop us from getting favor from God. Nothing will stop us from getting favor, even from men. You saw what happened in the house of David? They have to say, the prophet said, is it the only child you have? They said, no. They have to dispatch an emissary to go and look for the man who has a spiritually robust stature, who is far away in the field. Hide it somewhere, make it sing in one of his psalms, praising God in solitude, and relating with God in beautiful hymns. They have to go look for him. The man was small in stature, but he was big in spiritual stature. And that is what God saw in him when he set for him. So the place of God is where God wants us to grow. The gates of heaven is where God wants us to grow in stature. Where angels come to minister to us, the Holy Spirit takes care of us. A place where we are equipped to do the work of God and to do his will, to put the kingdom of darkness in retreat, to contend for our faith. A place where we grow so much in stature that we can stand for our nation, we can stand for the nations of the world. A place where we can reach God easily. Like I said, the gates of hell are completely opposite this. They are the gates that bring limitation of your destiny. They are the ones that terminate the program of God in your life. They are the ones that bring evil physical death. The gates of hell bring affliction to men. They bring sorrow and misery. The gates of hell bring killing, slaughtering of other human beings, like it's happening in our nation now. If it is not demons from hell, how can a man go to somebody sleeping? He has never quarreled with you. You don't know the person. You have never known him before. You took a gun or a knife. You are killing the person. You say you are doing it for God. What a terrible God. What a terrible God that we enjoy such things. Women, children, old people who have no help. You just stay, come from where you are, slaughtering this kind of people. He has never argued with you. In fact, you don't know the person. These are products of the gates of hell. These are manifestations of the gates of hell. Brethren, we have to be aware and be careful to be able to discern the time, like the men of Issachar, the times we are living. Hell is let loose. It shall not stop again till Jesus come. People will say, oh, we are already in the last day. Please, what I want to say today is to position you so that you can stay. I stay in the gates of heaven constantly. I know that the gates of hell are already let loose. People like negative things these days. They dwell in the negative rather than the positive. Globally, men are marrying men, women are marrying women. They are trying to take children to adopt them. Who will give a child to somebody who is not a woman to adopt? If you don't believe that a woman is capable of bringing a child for you, you just stay without children. And there are people fighting for these people. You must give their children to adopt. They want to adopt you. You cannot deny them. The world is not getting better. Hellish characteristics. The gates of hell are open, looking for so many to swallow, looking for so many to hold in captivity, looking for so many to deceive, looking for so many to derail, looking for people in the church to backslide, looking for them to look back, even when they have put their hands on the plow. Brethren, the gates of heaven are gates, is the gate where you grow in passion for God. If you see that Satan is tempting you, you are one leg in the church, one leg outside, brother, sister, be careful. The gate of hell is coming after you. It will make you spiritually famished, emasculated in the spirit, that you don't have energy at all, because your stature in the spirit is small, and you cannot defend yourself, nor defend your household. The devils like such Christians. So you need to grow up. Arise. Utilize the gates of heaven you have. And the Lord will help you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the gate of heaven, there are two powers I want to discuss this morning. There's what Jesus called in the Bible, power over, a power to become. The power over. The power over the devil and his demons. In Luke chapter 9 verse 1, also in Mark chapter 6, the Bible says that Jesus called the 12 and began to divide them into two. And he gave them power. Hallelujah. He gave them power and authority over all devils. It means that over all the power of the enemy, over the power of the devil. It is at the gate of heaven, the church of God, that we get this kind of power in Bethel. We receive the power from Jesus Christ by the presence of His Holy Spirit to do exploits in His name, to go out there, to heal the sick, to cure all manner of diseases. In Luke chapter 10, verses 90 also, a very popular scripture, you know, the Bible said there also that He gave us power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt the child of God. Praise the Lord! At the gate of heaven, you are given power to exercise authority in the world. Jesus did not leave us defenseless. He did not leave us timid, weak, feeble, and without strength. He left us with a lot of strength, a lot of spiritual strength, a lot of authority. We need to stand up and begin to exercise this strength individually or collectively. I ask myself, why did Jesus start with this ministry of healing? He will feed people, like the pastor read from Mark, feed all of them, then heed them all. Jesus knew that the sicknesses and diseases is what the devil used in weakening our faith, in weakening our confidence in God, our trust in the ability of God to do the extraordinary. Brother, when you are sick, sometimes you can doubt God. When the devil attack your flesh, which is not your spirit, you will have reason to say, are you there, Lord? Are you with me? Are you going to leave me like this? Jesus knew that the devil uses that often to weaken the church, to make us doubt God, to make us look back. Sickness has made a lot of people to backslide. Sickness has made a lot of people to doubt God and leave the faith. He said, God, if you didn't heal me. That is why Jesus is interested in healing. He did not joke. He did not play at all with his ministry as it concerned healing. He went about it with ferociousness. He went about it with zeal, with passion. He moved from one community to the other, impacting people, touching their lives. And he gave the power to the church. He gave the power to the church. And everybody who comes to the church at the gate of heaven, who comes to Bethel, the house of God, the Holy Spirit releases His power when you give your life completely to Him. So if you see any man, any woman, who has yielded his life, his soul, and his spirit to God, God is able to endue you with power, first of all, over your body, and over all the bodies of the other people. Because Jesus will not like anybody to be distracted. Sicknesses distract. They weaken. They make you not even focus on serving God, on praising God. So God hates sicknesses. That is why He wants you to prosper and be in health and be strong, even as your body, even as your soul prospered. That is what He told us in 1 John. God wants us to prosper in physically, even as our spirit is prospering. Because nothing ever touches our spirit. You can only make your spirit feeble, weak, and unable to do anything when you don't feed it with the Word of God. Did you hear me? Your spirit can be weak, lazy, feeble, unproductive, and incapable of exerting force against the kingdom of darkness because you do not feed Him. I say Him now because it's the man in you. Also the women. In the spirit realm, there is no male or female. We always have the same spirit. So the spirit in you can be weak. Not because God wants it to be weak. But there is nothing happening to it. It's alive. It's well. It's able to do whatever you want Him to do. But when you feed it with the Word of God, feed it with prayer, feed it with what is relevant, the spiritual food that it needs, the spirit grows. Your stature grows from there. You become big from that realm. And you can withstand the opposition of the enemy. Praise the Lord. So Jesus did not joke with healing people. In Colossians 2:50 also, we saw how the Bible said that having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them, openly triumphing over them. In it, we said these are the power over. The power over sicknesses, over demonic spirits, over principalities, over powers, over the rulers of darkness of this world, over every spirit. Every spirit is subject to the Spirit of God. That is why the realm of the spirit controls the realm of the physical. That is why God is almighty. That is why the power of heaven is more than the power of hell. Every spirit is subject to the Spirit of God. The spirit of sicknesses that are here this morning, you better pack your things. I got spirit of affliction. You are subject to the Spirit of God that is in this church, that is in me, that is in my brethren. Listen. You have no power over the children of God. Sicknesses are diseases. You have no authority over the child of God. Hear me now. Get out from this place. Before we begin to pray, pack your bag and begin to leave those people. Jesus even went down there to Hades, the hell, the devil's abode, to overcome principalities and powers, and He triumphed over them. He made a public show of them. He came out with His gold medal, with life, a new one. Life, resurrected life. We just celebrated Easter. We are like Jesus Christ. We have the gene of the resurrection. We have the power in the spirit to overcome the flesh. So if the devil attack the flesh, don't look at the devil. Just give him a word and let him go. Say, devil, take your things and go in the name of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 26, The board talk about the power of Adeg also. He said, and they, and he that overcometh, I keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Praise the Lord. After you have left here, you will not have power so much over the nations, eh? Yeah, the nations of the world. So, please, we need to stay as overcomers. We need to stay on guard. We need to stay conscious of that fact that the Lord has put us somewhere. And if you listen to His word, you hold on to it, and you are overcoming daily, you have power over the nation of Nigeria. Did you hear me? If you are following the Lord, you are listening to Him, you are doing His will, you are living righteously, you have power beyond the power of Buhari. Because you can control things in the spirit. Buhari can also only control his generals. What do they call them? His service chiefs. And for a long time, he has been trying to put some energy in them. It doesn't seem to be working. But I pray that God will help them put their act together. Because I know that they are strong enough to do the job. What is weakening them, the church will pray about it. To liberate our nation. You have power more than the president. Because you can declare things in the spirit before God. And they are established in heaven. And once they are established in heaven, they are established on earth. The church of Jesus Christ. The gate of heaven. Wherever they are in this town, in this nation. If they decree a thing, if we stand to say Nigeria shall not scatter. Things are bad in our nation, you know. So it's easy to agree with people who say, oh, secession, oh, Duduwa, Biafra, all those ones. It's easy. But do you know that God has a prophetic destiny for Nigeria? If God has not said Nigeria will divide, He can never divide. I have faith in Nigeria. I have so much faith about this country. We are passing through dirty periods, very bad periods, where one part wants to dominate the other. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Even Jacob and Esau started it in the stomach. They struggle. Even when one turned, he has won. In Bethel, he was restored to his position. His name was changed. He became the Israel he ought to be. Struggle can happen in the realm of the physical. But if we tarry before God the realm of the spirit, the struggles will be over. And it will be for our advantage in the name of Jesus Christ. May the problems of Nigeria end up to the church advantage in the name of Jesus Christ. They have a strategy. They have their own strategy. They are penetrating the southwest now, coming here to hold meeting, encourage people to start Sharia, do this, do that. We are not bothered. Everything they have started have blown on their face. Did it blow on their face? If it didn't blow on their face, we are not going to be where we are now. As the Lord God Jehovah liveth, anything, strategy of men, machination of the devil, wickedness plan from hell, craftiness and deceit that people are doing just to control the nation and control his destiny can never work as long as Jehovah lives. We need to stand up. We need to declare the word before God for our nation. We need to counter the gates of hell that is everywhere. Do you know what it will be when there is war? Do you know what it means? Several old people who cannot run. Several children will be left behind by their parents because they cannot carry everybody. It's not anything somebody should contemplate. It's not anything which we will imagine. Don't think that Oduduwa will come easily or Biafra will come easily. It comes with the spilling of blood because that is what the devil wants. The hell is open. Try to capture souls of men. Swallow them who do not know Jesus Christ. Rather, will we resist it in this nation? Will we stand in our temple or stand in our altars? And will we declare the word of God? Nigeria is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, from the fringes of Kebi to that of Boronu, down to the fringes of Calabar, down to Lagos, to Badagry. Nigeria is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. No powers of the gates of hell will prevail over it. They will only try. Everything they try will hit their face. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Revelation 2:26 says, we shall be in charge of nations. We shall be in charge of nations. What are we doing, brethren? What can we take charge over Nigeria? Can I challenge you this morning to take charge over Nigeria? Let Nigeria be one of your strong prayer points. If you don't have peace, where will your children prosper? Where you are praying for your children? The kind of war the devil is planning here, if it starts, it takes 40 years. Because they are religious in nature. They will not be, secondly, they will be ethnic. They will not first of all be ethnic. Before you know it, it will be changed quickly to religion. That is why we will not pray that. Not that we are afraid, but because we know God wants to do something in Nigeria. And He will use us to do it. Praise the Lord. Since I was born, they keep telling me that the population of Christians is 50-50. To see, the independence from now, that is how it has been, close to 50 or 50. Although, if you check it now, I keep asking myself, then I discover that even the church is growing in the north. Even the same north, they say they are Sharia, the church is growing there. Even the Catholic church is growing. All churches are growing. And we think God is silent and He's just watching us. The church is growing. The church is marching. The church is going to its predestinated goal and destination. We can never lose hope. We can never give in to the enemy. Praise the Lord. If you are the gate of heaven, then you are a gatekeeper. Is it not true? That is why I say you should be praying. You are one of the gatekeepers of this country. Because the Bible says in Revelation 2:26 that He will give you control over nations. He will make you in charge of nations. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting to go to heaven before you begin to take authority over the national affairs? Over what is going on in our country? We seem to believe eschatology, marabutage, and all the rest of the is more powerful than the power of the Holy Spirit. Who told you? We seem to believe that the sacrifices they are doing every day, every human being the key they are sacrificing. That is why they don't just kill and leave. They will still split the brain, tear the stomach, even when the person is pregnant. What madness! Are you saying they are not serving some kind of powers? They are serving sacrifices to the devil. We shall never be the instrument of their sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ. They will never find any of us. The power of the church will subdue the gate of hell. The church will march on and the kingdom of darkness at the gates of hell shall never come over it. The second power God gave to us is the power to become. In John chapter 1 verse 12. The power to become. When you become son of God, daughter of God, who is more powerful than you? It's because you don't believe that you have become. Have you become? The power to become is already given to the church. This same power that makes you the son of God and makes you the daughter of God is the power of the new creation. Is the power of salvation. Is the power of the new beginning in God. Is the power of the changed man. If anybody doesn't have it, if you have not experienced Jesus Christ, I don't mean coming to church. I used to go to church before I got born again. The day I got born again, I knew something happened. I knew something happened.
Especially 2 days after when I spoke in tongue. I said, so this historical Jesus is true, that Jesus is alive. It appears in my head, Jesus has always been history. The one I learned, Jesus there, this is there. But that day, there was a stamp in my heart, a kind of confidence assurance. I spoke in tongue. I said, wow, so Jesus is alive. It's the first thing my spirit told me. Then I didn't want to stop again. I started firing. Firing for several hours. And the people who prayed for me, they could not hold me again. Praise the Lord. Please, brother, sister, if you come to church, you have not genuinely given your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus has not been formed in you. The Word of God has not translated you, circumcised your spirit, make your spirit, a new man. And you have not given up all your old ways. You need to do that. Because you are putting yourself in danger by standing close to the gate of heaven, but you are in the gate of hell. You are in the gate of hell. Gates are to provide entrance, access, isn't it? They are means of entry. You just go straight into hell. And the devil will like such people who are not very faithful, who have not given their life genuinely, to deal with as miserable people. He will treat them, those who are in church and those who have been born again once. They have backslidden in their hearts. They are emasculated in their spirit. They are famished in their spirit. They are not growing in stature. They are small as they were the year they got born again. It is 10 years now they got born again. Their spirit is still weak and small. It's not fed. These are the people the devil is going to be interested in. Please, brother, you don't need to be like that, sister. You don't need to remain in that condition. Stand up. Grow up. Grow up in the spirit. Grow up in faith. Grow up in grace. Grow up in love. Grow up in the power of God. Don't wait for the devil to get you. And you are there. You are see doing whatever the world does. Please, the devil has no respect for you. If we are Christian and the devil doesn't have respect for us, it's a very bad thing. We need to grow to a point the devil will have respect for us. Praise the Lord. Let me go quickly because the time is going. There are evil gates scattered everywhere in the world, not only in our nation. Demonic gates, gates of hell. People turning people away from God. Anything that turns somebody from going to heaven, blind his mind, blind his soul, that he cannot hear the word of the gospel I ever believe. The gate of hell is prevailing against such. Gate of hell is prevailing against a lot of people in the world, but not the church of Jesus Christ. The true church of Jesus Christ is continuously, constantly, always prevailing against the gates of hell. We are the church. We shall stand up in this battle this morning. We shall cry unto God, and the powers of hell will disappear. The forces of wickedness in our land will go. The forces of sicknesses are diseases, poverty. These are the things the devil uses in discouraging men and women to hate God, not to follow him sincerely. I use them to put them in trap of looking for what to eat and looking for how to cure themselves. Praise ye the Lord. I would like to tell you at the gate of heaven, everybody can be upgraded. Everybody can be upgraded in the spirit. That is what Psalm 89 verse 20 was telling us when he said, I found David my son, with my oil I have anointed him. You can be anointed, and the anointing upgrades you in the presence of God to do more, to be relevant, to be useful, to have power over some territory, even your household. I have a lot of Christians in my family where I come from. But when I'm discussing with my brother, I tell them, no power of this house can touch me. None of them. And they will be say, we have to pray. I said, no, because I know in the realm of the spirit what the Lord has done in the past. And I saw it happen in the physical. So we have to be confident. You are an apostle, a priest to your family, extended family, your immediate family, your husband and your children, your wife and your children, and even in the church here. So that when we hold hands together like this, because we have power, God has given us power to exercise control over nations. We can decree a thing and it will come to pass. Things that Buhari cannot do, things that the governors cannot do, the service chiefs cannot do, we can do it. God is just watching us, waiting for us to be more serious and passionate about that, to be more zealous about it. Can't very few people pray and turn Nigeria around? God can do it. Let it never come into your mind that the power of occultism, Islamic occultism and eschatology, and all the rest of it that is going on, can ever withstand the power of the church. He cannot. He cannot. Jesus is the owner of his church. And he has given us power over all the powers of the enemy. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Before we pray, I would like to quickly mention that we need to be careful as Christians. If we have got it born again, because at the gate of heaven, we are taught to live righteously. The righteous life is a defended life. As long as the scepter of his kingdom is the right center or the righteous center, the Bible says the scepter of his kingdom is the righteous scepter, isn't it? That is the symbol of authority. The authority of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, is righteousness. That's what he's saying. Thou love righteousness, you have hated wickedness, therefore your God. Hebrews chapter 1, at least from verse 9, he talks about the scepter of the kingdom in verse 13, and it's also found in Psalm 45 or Psalm 46. The power in the kingdom is your righteousness, O. Where people are preaching today that grace has given you everything, you can live the life you want. You do not need to beg God. Are there no churches preaching like that? These are the things we are believing that we have become weak. We don't have to believe such things. Did the Bible say, shall we live in sin? So that the grace of God will abound? If we live in sin, will the grace of God abound? It cannot. Sin diminishes grace. Sin is opposite grace. Sin is a destroyer of grace. Grace cannot abound when we live in sin. It is when we live righteously, live like the children of God, the called out ones, live like sanctified people of God, that the power of God will come. And we begin to do the things that he wants us to do. And let me use two scriptures. I may not be able to read them. One in the Old Testament. Exodus 34. Verses 7 to 8. Verses 5 to 7. Exodus 34. In the Amplified, it said, the Lord descend in the cloud and stood there with Moses, as he proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, that is truthfulness, keeping mercy and loving kindness for thousands, giving iniquity and transgression as sin, forgiving iniquity and transgression as sin, but he will not, by no means,
leave the guilty unpunished. Can you underline that? He forgives sins or righteousness and sins, but he will not forgive the punishment for your sin. He will forgive you. He will cleanse your sin. But there is a consequence for every sin. Do you know that? Christians don't know that. They don't still read that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. We don't read that. If we read it, we scare through it. We allow the devil encroach in our territory, come to the gates of heaven and afflict us with diseases and sicknesses. We allow the devil come. We wrestle with generational blood-related diseases. We wrestle with them, and you can win over them. You can win over them. They say your mother died of cancer. You have been feeling a lump here. Some of you, it's over 5 years now you have been. And your mother did not survive more than 1 year, 2 years. They say your father, your mother has diabetes. You have high blood sugar. You have been suffering that. And you are still alive. Are they? What do you think is sustaining you? You have power over your generational sicknesses and diseases. As long as you keep telling God, I am above this thing, I'm higher than this thing. Take it off from me. That is how you will live your full age here. What is in your body is only a sign that it was in your family. Praise the Lord! It's giving you a sign that thing was in your family. Whether it's high blood pressure or not. Keep declaring to God that you have overcome this one. You do not belong to this race again. You belong to the new race of Israel. You are a new generation. You are not part of them. You should not share out of their suffering, out of the early death, generational. Will we not, oh? The Lord will take us above them in the name of Jesus Christ. But we need to live righteously. The Bible said here in Galatians 6, 7, 8, that sin, what I interpret them to me, what I read in Exodus 34, sin is the only thing that Christians need to be afraid of. Hello? Sin is the only thing, you should be afraid of. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of his demons. Don't be afraid of anything coming from the gates of hell. The gates of hell. But be afraid of sin. You know what the enemy does? The same way he did. He wanted Balaam to curse, or Barak, or whichever one is the prophet now, to curse the children of Israel. And make them sin so that he can have access to cursing them. That is what the devil is still doing. He wants to make us sinful so that the devil can strike us with an arrow. This is why we need to be careful. Leaders, either in this church, outside this church, especially when you are a leader, don't be angry with the people following you. Don't hold malice for anybody. If anybody offends you, follow the laid down principle by the Bible. Call the person. Say, you have offended me. Or if you have offended anybody, go to the person. If you tell him, please forgive me, does it agree? The Bible says, proceed to your leader to tell the matter. Report to the church so that they can also appeal to him. When you say, oh, he's a small boy, he offended me, you are holding things against people, you are disappointing God. Because you ought to know all these things. He thinks you ought to know all these things. And when he sees you doing behavior like that, you are angry, you are bitter about somebody, even somebody in the church, maybe it's a co-leader with you or somebody junior to you in the leadership cadre, and ordinary members, you are still angry. My friend, sickness can catch you anytime. I'm not praying for you. God forbid. You need to walk in love, even in perfect love, especially the leadership, so that we don't give access to the devil to come near the gates of heaven and throw missiles upon the children of God. It should not be so. It should not be so. It's an abnormality. It's something that ought not to be. We are supposed to throw missiles here, from here to the devil. A question. Finish all of them. I was telling you about power of righteousness before. I'm the first graduate in my family by design of men. I would have long been dead. I see men judging me in my dream. They judge me, they conclude. The Spirit of God took us to a pinnacle. A very tall, like all those masks, you know, planted in the midst of an ocean. Like all those ones, like boxing ring, you know. The boxing ring are like those ones, round the boxing ring. They are thread, ordinary thread, tailor thread. Then the Spirit of God threw me on the thread. The thread. I did not fall into the river. I bounced back. The guy was accusing me, didn't spend 6 months. He was dead. The second time I had that dream, that I'm being weighed, like weigh you in the scale, whether the thread can hold you. I bounced back on the thread. The devil organized, orchestrated attacks upon our lives because they find loopholes. If they don't find loophole in you, you will always become victorious over them. They will test you on the thread, the tailor thread. You will not fall. The thread will hold you because your weight will be like paperweight. Does the thread hold paperweight? The righteous man has paperweight. The man who has not done any petty evil, he does not hold grudge against anybody. He is not keeping malice with another. He is not bitter against his brother. The devil cannot reach him. The devil cannot reach him. They will throw him on the thread, they will bounce back. The people accusing him, rather than leaving those people to be dealt with by the devil, he is the one who will suffer. If you keep malice, it's you who will suffer. Because the devil will bring stone, he will bring javelin, arrow. We rebuke that devil today in the name of every power that you need to live the righteous life. The Lord give it to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Every power that you need to stand in God's presence, I stand blameless. Every power you need to invest in the spirit and not in the flesh. Have we seen that we don't take anything out of here? We do not take anything out of here. Even ordinary bow tie, we don't go with. Ordinary purse, we can't go with. So why are we allowing the devil distracting us and plaguing the church with all manner of sicknesses and feebleness and all the rest of it? We need to stand up. From this day, I will say, Father, I will grow in stature. I will grow in stature. Have you ever seen an angel? Angels, they have stature, eh? They have stature. They are not people you can throw around anyhow. If you have one guiding you, you are covered. Because they can take a aeroplane and bring it down. And it's tumbly. He will just use hand to now bring it down. Because of you. Praise the Lord. The Lord will dispatch angels for our sake. He will cover us with the shield of righteousness and the shield of faith and the garment of salvation. The Lord will cover us. He is willing to cover us. He is ready to cover us. But with the wicked hand. Now we the wicked God hand. We should rise up. I tell the Lord, we are ready to grow up in stature. We are ready to grow up to our predestinated goal that He has purposed for our life. No man will cut our life short. Even if I suffer all the diseases my father suffered, they will not kill me. They will not kill me. I will live to my full age in the name of Jesus Christ. None of us will high blood pressure terminate, or diabetes, or cancer, or kidney problem, or all these diseases of this last day. We will live long to see the beauty, the glory of God in the land of the living. We will serve Him in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to give that warning before I round up. In rounding up, I will say the Holy Spirit is always ready to help us. Is it not? God is able to help us because the Holy Spirit is close by. In all these pictures are patent. Pictures of doom, of problem, of danger in our country, in the world, in our lives, in the family, in our body. They are all negative pictures coming from the gates of hell. But the Bible says God is willing, is ready to heal us, is ready to save us, is ready to deliver us. Because the Spirit is always moving. And when the Spirit moves, new things happen. When you allow the Spirit move in your life, I'll give you some example. David had only 5 stones, you know. Only 5 stones. And a sling. Is that an instrument to kill a champion? No. This is a born champion. Like Saul, he has been fighting from his youthful age. He's an experienced fighter. Huh? He has everything that he takes. Whether instrument, weaponry, or physical hand, he could do it. But the weapon David used was given by the Spirit, was enhanced by the Spirit, was facilitated by the Spirit, was empowered by the Spirit. The weapon he used became an ammunition. Otherwise, that is not ammunition to fight a giant. Weapon, no hand. Just heavy weapon. He killed the giant. You will kill the giant after your life. Even without a physical weapon. You will destroy the giants in your family. I didn't tell you the second time I dreamed that dream. Took me to a higher, taller one. So that when I fall, I will fall into the river straight. It's like boxing ring. Tight. I don't want to tell you who died the next time I saw the dream. Anybody who rise against you, your family, will fall for your sake in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of righteousness will close the mouth of lions. He will close the mouth of Boko Haram bandits on your behalf. Everywhere we go, no kidnapper will come near us. No power of the enemy or orchestrations of the gates of hell that have been let loose in Nigeria shall be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. If you allow the Spirit to move, evil Samson with the jawbone, in Escalon, in Judges chapter 15, verse 15, only small jawbone. How many thousand did he kill? Was it Samson doing that? No, it was the Holy Ghost. It was the anointing upon his life. It was the anointing upon his life. Brethren, when the Holy Spirit moves in your life, anything you hold in your heart can kill anybody. Even your voice can kill. Your voice will kill. Ordinary prayer you make, the sound from your mouth will deal with somebody. So, let us not belittle ourselves. We have seen men and women who the Spirit of God have moved in their lives. That is why we need to yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost this morning. As we are going to pray now, we are saying, Lord, we come back to you, dear Holy Spirit. Our helper, our enabler, our intercessor, the one, our advocate, the one who pleads on our behalf. Help us. Jesus has put him here to enable us. You know why they made it so? So that you don't rely on the things you can see. You know where Moses left those people and now went up again to the mountain to bring the law? They wanted something they can see. Something they can look upon. Something they can call God. No, people of faith, they don't do that. The Holy Spirit is here. You better believe it. He's capable of doing anything, doing everything you want Him to do. He can heal us. He can destroy our enemies. He can fight for us in our nation. He can overturn the things that are going on. He can deliver you from sicknesses and affliction of the enemy. I fear where people want to offend me. I pray for them. I pray for them. Not too long ago, one of my bosses, we had an argument. I applied for my housing allowance. I have been taking the housing allowance fully for 5 years. A year. They pay me 1 year. I applied. He said, oh, that I should write application. Since my contract is ending, I should say that I will withdraw the money from the money they are saving for me. I wrote. He said, I should bring the receipt from the landlord. All those things that make Christians go and tell lies. Go and forge your receipt. Oh, they are paying me in house. I don't pay that for my house. I went to a neighborhood to live. I would have gone to my tama if you want me to be bringing receipt. That was not part of the deal. For 5 years, was not part of the deal. He said, you must bring the receipt. I said, I'm not bringing it. So he decided to seize the money. If I ask for the money, tell everybody I am owing. My personal account is bad. For 1.5 years, he seized the money. The prayer I was praying for him, I said, Father, don't deal with him. If he has record that I stole, let him bring it out. And I confess to the Holy Ghost, I said, since I have been working here, if I ever cheated $1, I streak it. It was 350, and I make it 340 because I want to get 10,000. Punish me. If not, please don't deal with him yet. Let him hold on to the money. I swear for myself, I've never cheated them. I've transacted money close to $1 billion, for the 5 years, 6 years period. The money that passed through my hand. Why are you seizing my money? You will be telling people, I am owing. This is your personal account. When they told it to me, they say, I owe $9,000. They bring it again, I owe $90,000. I say, if I write to them, I say, break it down for me. What is in these things? Did I take loan? They will keep quiet. They will not reply to me again for months. Look, when God wants to fight for you, Gedi will just hold your enemy. The Lord will deal with them in their own way. The powers they think they have, the Lord will neutralize their power. You bring them low as small boys. We don't take anything from here when we are going to heaven. Why should other people seek to oppress, to say you are the big boss? I've lived in a house with him here in Bodija. We live in the same compound. I live in the front, he lives at the back, the boys' quarter at the back. It's not that he doesn't know me. He wants to tell me now I am director of finance. When we call, let me tell you, when he called me on the phone, we really argued. I said, my project had money. The money is here. Just tell Ibado to send the money to you as they did last year. Then you send it to me. They did it so the previous year. They didn't have money in their headquarters. He said, it's not about your project having money. It's about what I want to do. The auditors will query me. I said, why haven't they queried them in 6 years? A Canadian did it. A Belgian did it. Now you are my Nigeria. You know me. We have been colleagues in ICA here for many years. We have been living together in the same compound before you moved to your apartment. So we began to quarrel. He told me that day, I will not say anything on this matter again. So if I write to the accountant, he will tell the accountant not to do anything. The human resource people, they say, they are tired of this, your problem. Let this man bring out the money you stole. He will not bring it out. The lady told me that. Let him prove that I am owing. Brethren, don't hold malice. This matter, I'm telling you, sometimes I wake up in the night, they want to put me under high blood pressure. My wife will say, why are you worrying yourself? It's your money now, they will pay it. Whether they wait 10 years, they are going to pay it. If he thinks he has power like that, then leave him. Just don't pray with dangerous prayer. Brethren, God wants us to live righteously so that we will have clear conscience to stand. I didn't cheat my organization. I've not cheated them. I didn't cheat them. I never took $1, $1 one day. If that is what will make me rich, how will God bless me now? If you hear God open way for me now, you'll be wondering, how did he open it? That is what he has been doing. Because I will not take anybody's money. That is not what I will use to get rich.
So what is it that you are holding my oil for? The devil has nothing to hold your head for. Shall we rise up? You will pray a prayer of confession. If you have in any way allowed the edge to be open, a serpent has come in because there was no defense of righteousness. If you have allowed any way to let the enemy shoot catapult at you or a javelin onto your head, repent of it today. Ask God to nullify all those deficits you owe the devil. Because he will owe them, he will hold them against you as negative. You know, where you have account, positive, minus. He will hold them against you. The devil will have nothing to hold against you. Because the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Is it not true? We shall pray this morning. I want you to begin to glorify God, thank him for the power of the gates of the church. The gates of heaven. The gates of heaven is the gates of the church. The enemy cannot hold anything against you. You are a child of God. If by chance, by happenstance, you fail God in one way or the other, you are living in sin continuously, you are practicing sin, you are still stealing from where you work, you are forging records, you are deceiving people, you are fornicating or practicing kind of extramarital practices, you need to repent of that. Because the consequences of that is against you. It's registered in the book. Don't say grace, grace, grace. Yes, grace has covered you. There is a consequence for every sin committed. Silence your life. They have no power to intimidate the church. The power of wicked religions have no power to intimidate the church in Nigeria. God has a divine purpose for our nation, Nigeria. And the church are accomplished that purpose. Let them be producing their leaders who can't do anything. By the time the church will be giving leaders to the nation, everybody will want them to stay. They will want them to stay there because they will walk with the Spirit of God. Did it Daniel do it? Did it Joseph do it? Have men not done it of old? They rule with the wisdom of God and the God results. I want you to pray, brother. I want you to pray, sister. If you are somebody who has never given your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are in our midst, while others are praying, I would like you to come out so that we can pray with you. Thereafter, you will go back and join in the prayers. Can we pray, brothers? Our time is fast spent. I want you to pray. Say, Father, forgive me my sin. Any shortcoming, any deficit in my life, anything the enemy may be holding on to attack me spiritually, I die in the night on the day. I plead for mercy. I plead for forgiveness. I plead for your cleansing. I plead for the blood of Jesus Christ to speak on my behalf. Father, have mercy upon me. Are you living in sin? Are you practicing sin? You need to pray about that. Those who have not given their life to Jesus Christ, who do not have Jesus Christ forming them, can you come out please so that we pray with you?
Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha and Omega, there is no one like you.
Covenant keeping God, keeping God,
oh, yeah.
There is no one like you.
your body of any type, diabetes, heart problem, kidney problems, cancer problem, nervous problems, I would like you to raise up your hand. Our time is far spent. We will pray for you generally and I will round up the prayers. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. You need prayers and the Lord will touch you wherever you are. The rod of the enemy will be broken for your sake. Shall we begin to pray for these people? Ask God to heal, to save, to deliver. Though the devil has timed a program to break down, let's revise it. It shall not come to pass. It shall not happen in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother, chase that spirit, chase that devil, put that devil on the run. Rebuke that familiar spirit, that generational demon, that blood-related sickness. Arrest it on your behalf. Say it will not have power over you. It will never be your portion that your father suffered it or your mother suffered it. As a result, you must suffer it. It's never your portion. It's never your portion. Revise that in the name of Jesus Christ. That is not the plan of God for your life.
Like unto thee, O Lord, who is like unto thee, O
voices and our hearts unto you for your children, everyone here who has raised up his or her hands this morning, for his or herself or for somebody not here. Father, we are at the rest here again. Let all the Pharaohs, the army of Pharaohs, and their chariots, we arrest the spirit behind the diseases. We pronounce you arrested in the name of Jesus Christ. You are not only arrested, you are buried in the Red Sea. You are terminated completely. Forever. Forever. The children of God are free. Deliver from the plague of Pharaoh. Deliver from the sicknesses of Egypt. Deliver from every affliction. In whatever name their name. Whether they are blood related, generational, familiar, arrows of the enemy. We rebuke you. We destroy you, arrows of the enemy. Stone thrown at us by the enemy. We revise them. We revise them. Go back to the sender. In the name of Jesus Christ. We pronounce perfect healing for your church. We pronounce deliverance for your church. We pronounce restoration for your church. In the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever they are, our members, whether they are here or they are at home, may your word, you set forth your word, and your word heed them, and deliver them from destruction. We deliver them today from these sicknesses. Let your word set them free from destruction in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke the spirit of the enemy. All you foul spirit come into the gates of heaven. We declare that this is the gate of heaven. The power of darkness can never prevail against any church. Anyone who runs here will find refuge. Anyone who comes to God here will find deliverance. He will find safety. She will find deliverance. She will find salvation. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for setting your people free, for liberating your people by the power in the blood, by the spoken word, and by the spirit of grace and the spirit of life. Glory be to you, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Will we have pray one prayer before I come down from this altar? This church has its own prophetic destiny. Is supposed to grow in stature, grow in grace. So also your life. If you have been born again for many years, your stature spiritually is still small. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 13, that until we all come in the unity of faith, the Lord wants us to grow in stature as a church and as individual. We grow unto the perfect man, unto the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. If we are not measuring up to Jesus, there is something wrong. That is why the enemy is threatening us. I want you to pray for yourself today. Say, Father, I have stayed too long in this battle here. Father, let me move on. I want to grow in stature. I want to grow in the spirit. I want to grow in love. I want to grow in unity, in holy, in spirit. I want to grow in righteousness. Begin to pray. Begin to ask God. Father, we thank you. Let your church, every member here, grow in stature. Grow in grace. Grow in love. Grow in power. Grow in authority before you. Let all of us come to you. Deliver, strengthen. Kalakadoshe pramakusakale andole anote. Hasha talagadote mukuskandolia. Repe soto yokoski golea. Pray for divine help. Pray for divine assistance. Ask God to help you to grow in the word, to grow in the spirit, to grow in grace, to grow in love, to grow in every aspect, that you will not remain a dwarf in the spirit. We cannot be Zacchaeus in the spirit. Rebuild the spirit of Zacchaeus. Spiritual Zacchaeus. It shall not happen. Ataragala. Brokoloposki mosandala. Yeri gele pramosondoli anokote. Aziru yondole yanamakote yamakosada. Mokozitalena. Mokozitatayoto rubogolena. Yizondoli makusi polepaya nakaya. Haleri yanotelo. Payanokoski. Biendo roboski momosatulia. Brakole momoski momosandala gadoshe. Ete reto logoski gosandalea. Randa la gadote yombrokos kanoli ya makusi. Ei anote yombrokos kalea. Roto logodoshe padrendo sukala. Yeto roboboshe pra makusi koye. In the name of our Lord Jesus. I worship you, Almighty God.
There is none like you.
Oh yeah. That when we come unto you and get born again, that our lives will grow into fruit-bearing lives. You seeded your seed of the Spirit, the seed of the new life, the seed of righteousness that has potential to become like Jesus Christ, even in our human form. Father, you expected that a lot of us will grow and be bearing fruit unto your name, to the glory of your name, and for the expansion of your kingdom. Father, we come to you today because in the life of many, this has not become the reality. And we do pray for them and for ourselves, that Father, that you will let that stimuli that you have planted begin to stimulate rapid growth from within, rapid growth in the spirit, rapid growth in stature, rapid growth in every aspect that you have in your nature, your character, that nobody shall remain a spiritual dwarf in this church. That all of us will grow in grace, we grow in faith, we grow in love, we grow in righteousness and holiness. We grow in power before you. Thank you, Holy Father. We pray that your church, Glory Tabernacle, shall fulfill her destiny in the land of the living. We pray you will find us useful. You will find us capable. You will find us ready to do in the land, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is why we pray for each and every one of us. That we shall grow in stature. We shall grow in stature. Up to the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ. Father, may none of us be left behind. May nobody look back. Help those looking back. Bring them back to the church. Help that backslider in the heart. Let the Spirit, your fervency of the Spirit, the joy of salvation, dwell again in their hearts. To be able to give up that thing they love so much in the world. Bring them again to yourself. Let the power of the enemy be broken over their lives. Let the gates of hell that are speaking concerning them be silenced today in the name of Jesus Christ. We silence the gates of hell in every manifestation, in the different way they are manifesting. We silence the gates of hell. And we declare and decree that the gates of hell will continually prevail over the gates of hell. The gates of your church. Thank you, Lord, as you keep building us, increasing us, enabling us, capacitating us, raising us to be the giants you want for this nation. May Nigeria never fail. May all the wicked forces that are fighting Nigeria, may they receive shame as their recompense in the name of Jesus Christ. May they be exposed. May there be disgrace. May all the people who have contrary agenda, contrary to your agenda for Nigeria, may their desires, their vision, their plan, their strategy, may they fail in the name of Jesus Christ. May the foundation they stand upon disappoint them. May the gods they trust, the wicked gods they trust, disappoint them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jehovah, prove yourself faithful. Prove yourself faithful for your church in Nigeria. Stand by your church. Whether they are in Kebbi or Sokoto, in Zafara, in Katsina. Father, wherever they are found, in Kano, in Jigawa, in Borono, in Adamawa. Father, stand for your church. Let our voice never be silenced in this country. Those who want to put us under, put them under. We will walk upon them. Because Jesus Christ has given us authority to trample upon those serpents as scorpions. And they will not hurt us in any way. Everything they have designed, all these negative and occultic sacrifices, are human sacrifices they are offering. With human hungers, with blood, everywhere in our nation. We nullify it. We nullify it. By the speaking blood of Jesus Christ. That speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. We pray that the negative consequences of these sacrifices they are making will never leave the generation of the wicked. It will pursue them, pursue their children up to the fourth generation. Even as your word declares in the name of Jesus Christ. May their name be obliterated from your presence. May they never see the light. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you for delivering your church. Thank you for delivering Nigeria. Thank you for delivering us from the arrows of the wicked, from the powers in our family. Thank you for setting us free. Indeed, we are free. Thank you, Holy Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.